Washington, D.C. It got a lot of evil there, but we're getting it out step by step. A lot of evil. A lot of bad people. A lot of bad people. A lot of fake media.
You are fake news.
A lot of fake media. NBC is perhaps worse than CNN, I have to tell you. And MSNBC is horrible.
Check it out!
It's 1999. I'm on Meet the Press, a show now headed by Sleepy Eyes Chuck Todd. He's a sleeping son of a bitch, I'll tell you.
That sounds awfully harsh. Why can't you be a little more supportive?
Ladies and gentlemen, Kevin Wall.
Quiet, numbskulls, I'm broadcasting.
Fun lovers and truth seekers, you have come to the right place. It's live and local now for a Tuesday. A virtuoso performance by the president last night in his Corona Task Force press briefing.
Good. He is fabulous.
He just handed it to the Demo Rats. It was one of the best performances by the president that I think I have seen in recent memory, certainly since all this coronavirus stuff began. Let's check in with Liz Harrington, Republican National Committee national spokesperson. She joins us. And Liz, what did you think of the president last night? I don't think he gets any better than this.
Oh, it's fantastic. And he has to set the record straight. And it's amazing to see how the mainstream media, they just can't take their own medicine. They have been trying to rewrite history throughout this process, trying to lay the blame at the president's feet for a pandemic that was started by a communist regime's cover-up in China. And they've tried to change the narrative and every which way they can to place the blame at the president. Well, let's go back. Let's do a little Monday morning quarterbacking, right? Let's see what the media was talking about, what they were saying about the coronavirus. Oh, they said it was nothing. It's just like the flu. It's not as bad as the flu. They have said so many different things on this that make it clear they weren't. Nobody could have seen this coming. And now the New York Times is trying to rewrite history and act like the president and this administration could have done something different. And what, was he supposed to shut the economy down in February for another month? I mean, it's absolutely absurd, but they can't take it. They cannot take their own clips of seeing themselves, CNN and MSNBC, cut away. They couldn't even take the president showing in real time how the media was covering this, how the media dropped the ball, how the media was so wrong about everything in this. And, they can't handle it. And they freaked out. They had a meltdown over at CNN. They changed their chyron five times in the span of a few minutes because they just can't accept that someone's actually going to fight back and defend themselves from this hysterical attacks. And that's what the president, unfortunately, has been had to deal with for years. And it's just amazing that the media can try to take the high ground and say, oh, well, the president should have seen this coming. Really? Because if the media would have gotten their way, the Senate would have still been shut down with a sham impeachment. If the media had their way, we'd all be talking about Ukraine. We wouldn't be talking about the coronavirus still. So it's just pathetic, and I'm proud that the president is willing to set the record straight for everyone to see, because the media's coverage is absolutely out of control. It's so biased. It's so inaccurate, and we're just not going to stand for that.
Again, Liz Harrington joining us, RNC national spokesperson. The other person that got to set the record straight was Dr. Anthony Fauci, and he spent a good deal of time, over 2 minutes, in clarifying his answer to Jake Tapper on State of the Union over the weekend. I thought he did really well in setting the record straight himself.
Absolutely, and it was necessary. I mean, the media, with their hypothetical gotcha questions, it's that same impulse. They're just trying to blame the president any which way they can. And it makes them completely incoherent, and you can see how they've gotten so many things wrong this entire time. But they're trying to use Dr. Fauci against the president. And what did Dr. Fauci say? The president took their recommendations at every step of the way, and he did what was in the best interest of the American people. And you can't have it both ways. You can't say that, oh, the president, what was he doing? He was dropping the ball. But then, oh, he's also racist, and he shut down travel from China. I mean, too early or too late? I mean, what is it? And so it really exposes just how incoherent the media is. And look how insulted Dr. Fauci was by that CBS reporter. What a hack, trying to imply that Dr. Fauci was doing this, was forced to do it against his will. No, he's setting the record straight from your biased media coverage that's trying to take everything out of context and trying to do anything they can to blame the president. Well, he set the record straight, and that's what the truth of the matter is. President Trump acted quickly. They've been on this from the very beginning. When Nancy Pelosi was saying, come to Chinatown on February 24th, the president, that was almost a month after travel was shut down from China. That was a month after there was already a task force working around the clock, trying to get our testing system in order, deploying tests. And there were so many steps that the CDC and the administration were taking throughout the month of February. And by the end of February, Nancy Pelosi was saying, oh, we've taken precautions. It's totally fine. Come to Chinatown. So where's the media gotcha question? Where's the media hounding Nancy Pelosi saying, did you put people at risk? Where's the media saying, you know, at her doorstep saying, why didn't you see this coming? Why were you handing out impeachment pens when you should have been having briefings on what was going on in China? Where are those questions to Adam Schiff? And it's completely a ridiculous double standard that they set for the president, when in fact his administration has been on top of this. They've been working with the private sector. And you heard the president and the vice president say it yesterday, all the steps they've taken to deploy FEMA, to get FedEx and UPS in the private sector with Project Airbridge, really just deploying supplies all across this country and to the states that need it, with an empty stockpile, by the way, that Obama and Biden left them, not a single person has been denied a bed. And it's an incredible achievement, and yet the media wants to try to rewrite history and play the blame game. Well, President Trump's going to keep calling them out, and he's going to speak the truth about this.
Next up for the president, letting us know when we might be reopening or opening the economy, whether it be in New York City, whether it be in Las Vegas, whether it be in Reno, regardless of where it is. What do you expect? And do you expect anything today or tomorrow from the president?
Well, the president, I expect that he is going to give us more information tonight, because he's putting the second task force together, industry leaders, to really start preparing over the next couple of weeks. We've gotten hints from Texas, and because states do need to help lead the way on this as well and do what's their interest. But the president is absolutely right. We were not made to do this. We have to open up. We're going to do what's in the interest of our health, but also in the interest of the entire country as a whole. And so we're going to look at different standards for different states, I'm sure, but we all have to be preparing to open up in a safe way. So Texas is having an executive order that Governor Abbott is releasing this week for the next couple of weeks to get businesses to prepare on how to open. And I think we'll be working with the states, we'll be working with private industry, figuring out how we can adapt and do it in the safest way possible. But I'm really encouraged by that, because we have to let America innovate. That's what we do best. And so by allowing that flexibility, planning ahead in the next couple of weeks, what we can do, what different individual businesses can do this in a safe way, but to really get people back to work is sorely needed, and I'm encouraged and excited to hear what the president's going to share for that tonight and over the next couple of days.
I know there's the constitutional question. The president says the president has the power to essentially open or close an economy. Andrew Cuomo said, no, Mr. President, it's the governors. And a lot of governors are lining up behind Andrew Cuomo. I'm not a constitutional scholar. I'm not sure you are either, Liz, but what is it the Constitution says about this relative to the president and his powers?
Well, the president was specifically talking about the emergency orders. And if you remember, now all 50 states have an emergency declaration. Those have to be approved by the federal government. So he's talking about that specific issue, that the federal government has the final say on that. But what's more interesting question, which the reporters do not have the proclivity to ask in that briefing room, well, what's the constitutionality for something like what Democrat Governor Gretchen Whitmer's doing in Michigan, where by edict, she's saying what you can and can't buy. You can't buy seats. You can't buy paint. By what constitutional authority are these local governments, usually led by a Democrat, arresting a father who's just playing t-ball with his daughter in an empty park where there's not even an order in place? It's less than six people is the order. So there's a lot of constitutional questions. But the media, strangely, is not asking any of those. And that's what I think one needs to be concerned about. What is the constitutionality for a governor to shut down an economy for 3 months? I mean, how long are they talking about here? So there's a lot of questions. And the president's been very clear. I want to work with states. And he has been. And he's been working very effectively with states. It is a governor's responsibility to do what's in the best interest of their people. But if you're shutting down an economy when there's no actual public health threat anymore, if we're talking like 2 months from now, maybe the president will have to intervene. Maybe the federal government will have to intervene, because what rights are you infringing on for local and small businesses not being able to work for how long in an extended period of time? So that's what he's talking about. But it's not going to, I don't think it's likely to be necessary, because you have a cooperation. You've seen governors, even Democrat governors, praising the administration's efforts on this, and they've been working really well. And I think most people agree. We want to get through this. We want to get through it as quickly as possible with at least harm to the public health as possible, but also with as least harm to our livelihoods as possible. So it's definitely a balancing act that the president, it's ultimately his responsibility. He's going to make the decision weighing that balance. And, you know, I think the media has always framed this as a false choice. We don't have to choose between our health and our economy. We can innovate. We're America. We can do two things at the same time. And I think that's what's going to be rolled out in the next couple of days, how we're going to do that. And the president's always going to abide by the Constitution, and he's always going to abide by what's best in the interest of the American people.
Again, Liz Harrington joining us, RNC national spokesperson. Liz, I looked up the other day, and we're inside of 7 months to a presidential election. We've got primary elections here in Nevada in June, and we're going to have a mail-in ballot for the first time. Can you talk a little bit about how Democrats are trying to change election law all across the country in various states because of the coronavirus?
Well, it's really troubling. And in fact, speaking of your state, your home state right now, we've just seen a letter that lays out exactly what Democrats want to do. They want to use this pandemic to gut the legal requirements for that prohibit ballot harvesting, and they want to gut that. They want to legalize ballot harvesting in your state using this pandemic as an excuse. It is shameful. It is so transparent what the Democrats are doing. They're trying to use a pandemic to get what they want to, what they think gives them a political edge at the ballot box. Nancy Pelosi did it in her legislation that did not pass, but that she delayed the aid to hospitals and small businesses and the checks to American workers. She wanted $4 billion to completely rewrite our election laws, to nationalize our elections, and to nationalize ballot harvesting. It was all a ruse. It was also campaign operatives can even be paid to collect ballots in bulk with no checks, no oversight. I mean, votes could be bought and sold. I mean, that's literally in her bill. And you've seen it with Elizabeth Warren, her voting plan, very curiously, what she's calling for now because of the pandemic is the exact same thing she was calling for last June before we had ever even heard of the coronavirus. They're calling for expanded keeping polls open for 30 days. At the same time, they're arguing it's too dangerous to leave the house. They want early mandatory voting for longer hours for 30 days up until Election Day. It is such a disgrace what Democrats are doing. They want to gut our voter integrity laws. They want to get rid of voter ID for absentee balloting. And they want this nationalized mail-in ballot, which would completely upend our elections. It would sow chaos and confusion. We would not have the results of the presidential election on Election Day. It would invite legal challenges, and it would invite massive fraud. Everyone agrees, even election law experts on the left, there's just no substitute for voting in person. It's a secret ballot. No one can coerce you. No one knows how you're voting. It's safe. It's fast. And it's secure. And Democrats want to use this to mail a ballot to, quote unquote, every registered voter. Well, the problem is some states like California, last year they were forced by a court settlement to remove 1.5 million registrations from their rolls. That means there are millions of voter registrations out there for people who are ineligible to vote or who have since died or who have since moved away. So what Democrats are doing is have an infusion of millions more ballots out there than there are eligible people to vote, which is a massive opportunity for fraud. And you can just ask the New York Times. You can just ask the New York Times, who in 2012 said that mail-in ballots are less secure and it's fraud is easier by mail. So you know, that is what the facts are on this, and Democrats are trying to use it for their political advantage. And at a time when there's so much uncertainty, we should not put more uncertainty in the most crucial way our country and our elections are decided.
Hey, Liz, always good to visit with you. Thank you so much for joining us, and stay safe there in our nation's capital. We'll talk again soon.
Okay, be safe out there, too. Thank you.
Liz Harrington, RNC national spokesperson, joining us live and local now.
Hi, this is Diamond and Silk. If you can see mountains in Nevada, listen to Kevin Wall on the Nevada Talk Network.
Hey, Kevin Wall here. Are you in need of a healthcare program? Well, you're in luck. As a member of Liberty HealthShare, you're part of a community that comes together to share their medical expenses. You can sign up throughout the year with memberships starting as early as the following month. And there are no contracts or commitments. Programs start as low as $199 per month, and there's no network. So you can choose your own doctors and hospitals. Liberty HealthShare is a nonprofit ministry, not insurance. So your money goes towards helping other members with their eligible medical expenses. And in your time of need, other members are there for you. You can feel good knowing that you're part of a community of like-minded individuals who understand the importance of people coming together to bear one another's burdens. To find out more, call 855-58-LIBERTY. That's 855-58-LIBERTY. or go to libertyhealthshare.org/Kevin Wall. That's libertyhealthshare.org/Kevin Wall.
Hello, this is Jared Fisher. I'm a business owner, community thought leader, and a previous candidate for governor. As the owner of Las Vegas Cycry and Escape Adventures, I know the importance of exercise and spending time in the outdoors, and I know the amazing outdoor experiences we have in Nevada. Las Vegas Cycry has kids' bikes, affordable hybrid bikes, mountain bikes, and road bikes. We also have a wide variety of the latest electric bikes, which affords the opportunity for those who want to ride a bike again but have some physical limitations. For more information, visit LasVegasCyclery.com. And for those of you interested in a guided biking or hiking outdoor tour, visit EscapeAdventures.com for gift cards and a one-of-a-kind outdoor adventure. Our phone number is 702-596-2953. We're located at 10575 Discovery Drive at the exit ramp of Town Center and 215. That's 10575 Discovery Drive at the exit ramp of Town Center and 215.
Dr. Cade Willis at the Ely Chiropractic Clinic is with us. How does managing pain through chiropractic care differ from medical care?
So the difference is we use our hands, we manipulate the spine, which means just introducing motion to segments that aren't moving correctly, doing some manual massage techniques to the muscles to help those relax. Other than muscle pain, there's very, very few side effects. So combining that with our exercise that we prescribe people when they go home, that's kind of the approach that we take. It's a little bit different than maybe anti-inflammatories and muscle relaxants and pain medications.
If you're tired of hurting, tired of pills, tired of the whole mess, give the folks a call. Dr. Jeffrey and Cade Willis at the Ely Chiropractic Clinic, 775-289-6800. By the way, they're now over one day a week over in Eureka. So if you have friends in Eureka, tell them to give them a call. 775-289-6800. 775-289-6800.
Listening to the
Let us know what's on your mind. Email NevadaTalkNet@gmail.com or call 775-293-1875.
Stick around. More to do as we continue. By the way, we're gonna talk a little bit later on about this whole nonsense with the trying to shut down the churches, suppressing our freedom of worship. Can a governor really do that, even in a crisis time? We'll talk about that and more coming up, live and local, now.
Where Nevada comes to talk, making radio great again.
America's founders knew power corrupts, and ultimate power corrupts ultimately, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. That's why they built in checks and balances to prevent any one group from seizing all power.
And that's why our president is elected by a college of electors, to protect the rights of little states like Delaware and Wyoming against giants like New York and California. After all, our country is a republic, the United States of America, not the United States. Our states are independent, sovereign powers. powers who created the federal government, not the other way around.
And that's why all power ultimately lies in we the people and the states, not a central dictatorship of cronies. Did you know that? Thank God for the U.S. Constitution.
Find out more how our amazing Constitution and Bill of Rights protect us, the citizens, against power-crazed politicians in Washington. Help us take back America. Go to OurAmericanRights.com. Brought to you by the American Media Council.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Breaking news is former President Obama is now expected to formally endorse Joe Biden for president later today. Biden, of course, Obama's former vice president and the presumptive Democratic presidential nominee. That happened when Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders suspended his campaign last week. Obama chose not to make an endorsement while the Democratic Party race was still competitive. New York's Governor Andrew Cuomo looking at improving figures there when it comes to coronavirus. And he says testing will be the key to restarting the economy when the pandemic is over.
If we don't do it gradually and controlled, you'll see the viruses go up, and that would be a terrible shame, and then we'd have to start all over again.
Former Trump campaign chief Paul Manafort now wants to serve his prison sentence from home because of concerns about the coronavirus outbreak. And this is USA Radio News.
Dish TV is better than cable TV. Why? Because you can save 45% on packages compared to your high-priced cable bill. Wow. Take those giant scissors out and cut the cable and save with Dish TV. Plus, you get a free DVR upgrade to record your favorite shows and free installation. And with Dish Anywhere, you can watch TV for free on your mobile device. Act fast. You can save hundreds of dollars. Does your cable company do that for you? I don't think so. Get all the best TV programming at your fingertips at a fraction of the price of cable TV. So say adios, arrivederci, goodbye to the high cable bill, and save up to 45% on Dish TV packages today. These are limited time offers and can change at any time. Call fast. 800-610-5739. 800-610-5739. 800-610-5739. That's 800-610-5739.
One NASCAR insider recalls the last time the sport and the country shut down. I'm Kyle Rickey. That story next on NASCAR Today Midday.
Welcome back to Sports View. Today's topic, who's the greatest of all time? For my money, it's Progressive's home and auto bundle. It literally saves you money. Gentlemen, your thoughts?
Look, it's simple.
I've said it before and I'll say it again. Add up all the heroes, take away the zeros, and what you got? One big trophy and me saying, I told you so.
I disagree.
Thanks, fellas. Took the words right out of my mouth.
There's really no debate. Progressive's home and auto bundle is a winning combination. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company, affiliates, and other insurers. Discounts not available in all states or situations.
I am the villain. The wearer of the black hat.
Bye-bye.
I am not here to make friends or kiss babies.
Cry me a river.
I am booed everywhere. I'm used to it by now. I am called everything in the book, including champion.
If you don't like that kind of racing, don't even watch.
I am Kyle Busch. I am NASCAR. The NASCAR Cup Series on Fox and FS1.
Larry McReynolds is a 40-year veteran of NASCAR, first as a crew chief and for the last couple of decades as a television and radio broadcaster. He has seen a lot over his four decades, including the last time the sport shut down, the week of September 11th, 2001, but says this current shutdown doesn't really compare.
We were back at Dover, Delaware about a week and a half later, still with heavy hearts, but we were back at the track. And I guess now, you know, we're well over a month into what's been going on. And in my book, we haven't reached the bottom of the valley yet.
Hear the full interview with Larry Mack tonight on NASCAR Live at 7 p.m. Eastern Time here on MRN. I'm Kyle Rickey. This is NASCAR Today Midday on the Motor Racing Network.
Let us know what's on your mind. Email NevadaTalkNet at gmail.com or call 775-293-1875.
My name's Joe Biden. I'm a Democratic candidate for the United States Senate. Look me over. If you like what you see, help out. If not, vote for the other guy. Give me a look, though, okay?
Crazy for thinking.
You're a lying dog-faced pony soldier.
I'm crazy for trying and
and crazy for crying, and I'm crazy for loving you.
Ah, you gotta like it. It's Tuesday. It is Live and Local Now. Good to have you with us. This hour of Live and Local Now brought to you by Liberty HealthShare, offering an affordable health care option that allows you to enroll any time of the year. Just $199 for a single, $399 for a couple, and $529 for a family. That's mom and dad and all the kids. Call 855-58-LIBERTY. That's 855-58-LIBERTY. Or check it out at libertyhealthshare.org/KevinWall. That's me. That's libertyhealthshare.org/KevinWall. I want to go to Andrew Cuomo because he lays out the numbers early on in his press briefing. And I want to take this happened just about 30 minutes ago. Here is Governor Andrew Cuomo of New York in Albany.
Thank you for being here. Let's give you some facts about where we are today. Total hospitalizations, actually, basically flat, technically tick down, which is probably the first tick down. So that's a good sign, but basically flat. So we think we are at the apex on the plateau. The number of hospitalizations went up, flattened, continuing to flatten, good sign. Technically, the number's down a tad, statistically irrelevant, but better than being up. The net change in total hospitalizations, if you look at the curve, which is what we look at, the curve is down. When you do the three-day average, which is more accurate than any one day, because remember, this reporting mechanism is new. We just put it in over during this situation, so I wouldn't bet all the chips on any one day. But when you look at 3 days, you look at the overall curve, we think it's indicative. So the three-day average is down. The net change in ICU admissions is down. Again, the ICU admissions I take with a grain of salt, since hospitals are no longer what they were, and they're basically all ICU wards. Intubations is a real number. That's the number of people who are being put on a ventilator. About 80% of those people will never come off a ventilator. So when you see the intubations, that is proportionate to the number of people we will lose. And that's what we've been watching all along. People go into the hospital, most get treated and are discharged. Some are not discharged. If they're intubated, about 80% of the people who are intubated will not come off the ventilator. The number of new people going into the hospital per day is also down, but we still have 1,600 new COVID cases yesterday. So we have 1,600 people new coming into the hospital, some being discharged. And the net is what we've been watching, but it's also interesting to note that you still have 1,600 new people walking into the hospital or who are in a hospital and then diagnosed with COVID. So the volume is still high, and that's why the hospitals are still working very hard. We have been watching for growth outside of New York City, Long Island, Westchester, Rockland. That has basically been flat. There have been little hot spots here and there. Department of Health has been very good and aggressive in jumping on those hot spots and tamping them down, test, isolate, trace. And you see the numbers by region across the state. Proportionately, obviously, downstate New York, which is what we've been talking about. But looking for growth towards Long Island, Westchester, Rockland, rest of the state, proportionately, upstate is very, very low to everything else in the state. This is something else we're watching. This is the number of deaths in nursing homes. And the nursing homes have been an increasing issue. The nursing home issue was flagged by the first cases we had in the state of Washington, because that is the vulnerable population in the vulnerable place. And we've been worrying about nursing homes from day one, as we saw in the state of Washington. But you see, the percentage of loss of life is getting higher in the nursing homes compared to the hospitals. Lives lost yesterday, 778. That number is up, and that is, to me, the most painful number. And it has been the most painful number every day. And those New Yorkers are in our thoughts and prayers. You look at the past few days and the number of lives lost, it's basically flat at a devastating level of pain and grief. But it evidences everything else we're seeing, which is basically a flattening at this level. The statisticians will say number of lives lost is a lagging indicator, which is a nice scientific term, but it doesn't mean it just is not just terrible, terrible, terrible news, and nothing we can do about it. Although many New Yorkers are doing everything they can to save people's lives on a daily basis, a great personal cost to themselves. Total number of
There you have it, Governor Andrew Cuomo, just minutes ago, his daily press briefing. And the news as far as the nursing homes, not good at all. And that other number that came up, 80% of the folks there that go on a ventilator never, ever come off. And what he did not say is they die. And that's unfortunate. More to come as we continue. The president fights back, but he wasn't the only one fighting back yesterday at the daily press briefing, the task force. Dr. Anthony Fauci went nuts yesterday. We'll get to that coming up in just a couple of minutes. You know, at Castle Insurance Group, they can get you the best home, auto, business, and life insurance coverage. And here's the best part. They can save you tons of dough in the process. At Castle Insurance Group, they'll find you the best policies from name brand insurers, folks that you've heard and seen on TV, Progressive, Nationwide, Safeco, Travelers, Hartford, ASI. They can write business insurance and commercial vehicle insurance too. Hey, while you've got some downtime, why don't you save yourself some money? Find out how much money you can save on your home, auto, business, and life insurance. Call Castle Insurance Group, no matter where you live across the state of Nevada. Call them, Castle Insurance Group, at 702-714-1060. That's 702-714-1060. Ask for a free quote. Find out how much money you can save at Castle Insurance Group. Coming up, you'll hear from Dr. Anthony Fauci, fighting back and clarifying something he said on one of the Sunday shows. We'll do that and more coming up, live and local now.
Where Nevada comes to talk, making radio great again. The official radio stations of the Vegas Golden Knights.
I'm Byron Bergeron, and I'm a lawyer. Now, I know that people don't like lawyers, but think of it like this. I'm here to level the playing field so you get a fair shake. Let me give you an example. You get into a wreck. Your insurance company wants you to think it represents you, and its priority is your best interest. You know, good hands. The truth is, its priority is its checkbook and its shareholders. If it's to their advantage, they will throw you under the bus so fast, you'll think the mayhem guy in the TV commercial is driving. I have only one client, you. And I can keep these companies in line because I have only one shareholder to answer to, me. I answer my own phone. I return my own phone calls. And other than my wife and two babies, the most important people in the world are my clients. 775-229-3736. 775-229-3736. When you need the field leveled so you can get a fair shake, call me.
For years now, you've heard me talking about Real Water. Hey, Kevin Wall here. I just can't get over the clean, smooth taste and how great it makes me feel. I won't drink anything else. But there's more than just great taste to real water. There's real science behind why it's so good. It's infused with negative ions, which basically means it has a bunch of extra electrons. You see, those negative ions help you hydrate on a cellular level and provide a powerful antioxidant effect. I told my friends Brent and Amy, the owners of Real Water, that I wanted to offer my listeners a special on Real Water, and they agreed. So here's the deal. Go to Amazon and search Real Water. It's the blue rectangular bottle that says Real Water. Add it to your cart, and when you proceed to checkout, there'll be a coupon section. Put in 10WALL. That's the number 10WALL, all caps, no spaces, and you'll receive a 10% discount. It doesn't get much better than that. Great tasting real water with all its beneficial properties delivered right to your door. I know you'll love it. Trust me, you will taste and feel this difference.
Thanks for listening to Nevada Talk Network, where Nevada comes to talk. Our programming originates from the beautiful Georgetown Ranch in Ely, Nevada, over KELY AM 1230. For over 70 years, the news source for White Pine County. In Sparks, Reno, and Carson City, you're listening to KNNR 1400 AM. In Battle Mountain, you're listening to KNNT 98.5 FM. In Hawthorne, Nevada, you're hearing us on KAVB 98.7 FM. In Fallon, you're listening to KNVR 102.5 FM. In the Amargosa Valley, you're hearing us over KPKK 101.1 FM. And in Pahrump, you're listening to us on KPVM Television, channel 25.6. Thanks for listening to the Nevada Talk Network, where Nevada comes to talk.
Reno and Sparks have an ongoing shortage of blood. Now you can help the blood supply and keep it replenished by becoming a donor on April 21st, 22nd, or 23rd at Bill Pierce Volvo, 11555 South Virginia in Reno. You can book your appointment online at bloodhero.com. That's bloodhero.com. This urgent message brought to you by All Valley Home Healthcare, 1325 Air Motive Way in Reno.
It's a tough time, but we will get through this together. If you have the means, we encourage you to participate in the gift card challenge. That's a simple thing you can do to help people around you. Just buy a gift card from one of your favorite local businesses, then use it when things get back to normal. Or be a rock star and give it to someone working on the front lines to keep us safe. Either way, when you buy the gift card, post a photo on social media with hashtag gift card challenge. Learn more at giftcardchallenge.org.
Let us know what's on your mind. Like us on Facebook, facebook.com/NevadaTalkNet, or visit our website, nvtalk.com.
Stay home, stay home. No reason in the world for you to roam. We're all in this together. No, friend, you ain't alone. All you gotta do is stay home.
Big and Rich, I love them.
Yoga's done got canceled, mama's pacing down the hall. Homeschool's now in session and I'm pulling out my hair. It's halfway through the morning, I'm still in my underwear. Stay home.
Big and Rich, trying to make the most of a bad situation. Yeah, thank you so much. Well, yesterday was payback day. You saw over the weekend the New York Times story saying that the president somehow had failed us. The president came up fighting. But you know who else came out fighting yesterday? Was Dr. Anthony Fauci, clarifying an answer from a CNN Sunday show interview. This is cut one. Dr. Fauci yesterday, last night actually, at the briefing at the White House.
I had an interview yesterday that I was asked a hypothetical question. And hypothetical questions sometimes can get you into some difficulty because it's what would have or could have. The nature of the hypothetical question was if, in fact, we had mitigated earlier, could lives have been saved? And the answer to my question was, as I always do, and I'm doing right now, perfectly honestly, say, yes. I mean, obviously, if you, mitigation helps. I've been up here many times telling you that mitigation works. So if mitigation works, and you instigate it and you initiate it earlier, you will probably have saved more lives. If you initiated it later, you probably would have lost more lives. You initiated at a certain time. That was taken as a way that maybe somehow something was at fault here. So let me tell you from my experience, and I can only speak from my own experience, is that we had been talking before any meetings that we had about the pros and the cons, the effectiveness or not of strong mitigations. So discussions were going on mostly among the medical people about what that would mean. The first and only time that Dr. Birx and I went in and formally made a recommendation to the president to actually have a, quote, shutdown in the sense of not really shutdown, but to really have strong mitigation. We discussed it. Obviously, there would be concern by some that, in fact, that might have some negative consequences. Nonetheless, the president listened to the recommendation and went to the mitigation. The next second time that I went with Dr. Birx into the president and said, 15 days are not enough. We need to go 30 days. Obviously, there were people who had a problem with that because of the potential secondary effects. Nonetheless, at that time, the president went with the health recommendations, and we extended it another 30 days. So I can only tell you what I know and what my recommendations were. But clearly, as happens all the time, there were interpretations of that response to a hypothetical question that I just thought it would be very nice for me to clarify because I didn't have the chance to clarify.
There you go. That's Anthony Fauci yesterday at the press briefing. The president, I don't know if you saw this. My little brother, believe it or not, who was celebrating a birthday yesterday, I forgot to wish him a happy birthday, but in suburban Philadelphia, he was watching this briefing and he was blown away by it. So was I. And the president did not wait long. This is cut five. To fire back at that New York Times story. Here it is.
On January 17th, this is 10 days before I did the, a little bit less than 10 days before I did the ban. I did a ban on China. You think that was easy? I then did a ban on Europe. And a lot of people said that was an incredible thing to do because you look at Spain. And by the way, we're doing very well because when you look at all of those flat graphs and you add it all up, the United States is very low and per capita we're very low. We're doing very well. But how do you close up the United States of America? So on January 6th, no deaths. On January 11th, no deaths. And no cases. On January 17th, no cases, no deaths. I'm supposed to close up the United States of America when I have no cases.
You didn't close it down in the middle of March. Did you close it down earlier?
I closed down from China. Excuse me. I closed it down from China. And by the way, some people think I should have waited longer and maybe ridden it out. I disagree with them, okay? But it was thought of. I mean, that was an alternative. You know, there are a lot of people that would have said, let's ride it out. Now, I'll give you the good news. If I would have done that, it would have been, I think, catastrophic. Because their numbers are, Anthony, 1.6 to 2.2 million people would have died if we tried to do that. And I did this last time. Cut it in half. Don't say 2.2 million. Cut it in more than half. Say a million people died. Well, that's much more than the Civil War. Cut it in half. Take the million and cut it in half. That's 500,000 people would have died. Now, that number we would have reached, okay? That would have been easy to reach if we did nothing. So we did the right thing, and our timing was very good. But here's the one thing, and you have to say this. When you ask me, why didn't you do this? How come when I did the ban on China and some very, very instituted, some very tough things, how come Nancy Pelosi, a month later, is in Chinatown saying, let's all march, this is not going to happen? How come we have many of the experts from CNN and many other networks, if you call CNN a network, I don't personally, but we have CNN, we have many other places, and they're all saying, he doesn't need to do it, he doesn't need to do it. All I'm saying is this, how do you close down the greatest economy in the history of the world when on January 17th you have no cases and no death? When on January 21st you have one case and no death. One case. Think of that.
The big question is he going to fire Dr. Anthony Fauci? And the answer, at least yesterday at the press conference, was no.
I think Anthony would be the first one to say, when I closed the country to China, when I closed the China ban, whatever you want to call it, Anthony said, I saved a lot of lives by doing that. I mean, am I correct? I don't want to put words in Anthony's mouth, by the way, and I like him. Today I walk in, I hear I'm going to fire him. I'm not firing him. I think he's a wonderful guy.
Why did you tweet something that said fire Fauci?
Why did you fire Fauci?
I retweeted somebody. I don't know. They said fire. Doesn't matter.
Did you notice that when you retweeted it?
Yeah, I noticed everything.
So you retweeted it even though it said time to fire Fauci?
No, that's somebody's opinion. All that is his opinion.
You read it and you elevated
No, I was called about that. I said, I'm not firing. In fact, if you ask your friends in the office, in the public relations office, I was immediately called upon that. And I said, no, I like him. I think he's terrific. Because this was a person's view. Not everybody's happy with Anthony. Not everybody's happy with everybody. But I will tell you, we have done a job the likes of which nobody's ever done. The mobilization, getting of equipment, all of the things we've done. Nobody's ever done a job like this.
That's the president last night at the daily press briefing. Tonight's daily press briefing should be interesting. I'll just tell you, this is going to be fascinating, because this is going to be the beginning of how we get our economy back started. And my guess, I'm just guessing here, that he'll start giving us some hints beginning tonight or today. And I think, and I think all of us are ready to be free from our captivity, to actually get out in the sunshine, to play golf, to get your hair cut. Oh, did I mention to have a good meal, a good sit-down dinner, and maybe a brewski? We'll talk about that coming up live and local now.